see what Donnie Harvey is having his youth conference. An old fella got up, old Kentucky hillbilly. A suit about a size and a half too small, cowboy boots that didn't fit, and a guitar. In my mind, I thought, well, here we go. Amen. And he got up, and that's the song we sang. We're going nigh by the blood. It's by Kenny Calloway. Kenny's written many wonderful songs, City of Refuge, Draw Nigh by the Blood, The Miracle It Took, so many great songs. Again, just one of those people that I'm glad God put in my life.
Amen.
What a blessing he was to us. What a blessing he's been to us. We're in a day when everything is flexible. Everything is on your terms. Everything is what you want to make out of it rather than absolute of truth. And I'm talking about in religion. Men will take an ideal rather than the word of God, and they'll form a religious pact based on an ideal rather than an absolute. When I was first saved, I was subject to some of that. My sister spake of many professions, and I remember the days of being in services where 12 to 15 people would make professions, and not a one of them tonight's in the house of God. They created this religion. There's no shame. There's no judgment in that religion. There's no wrath in that religion, but there's also no mercy. It's man-made. It's thought of by man, contrived by man. What we need is an absolute truth. I'd like to give you a truth tonight, and I'll be honest, some of you that know me well, sometimes it takes me a while to get there. We're going to search the scriptures. From them you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. We're going to go into 2 Samuel. I'm going to use this term very loosely. I'm going to use the term characters. These are people. These are very real people. And I'd just like to look at their lives for a moment. What is your life? You know, it's just a vapor. It's here, it's gone. We are no more on this side of eternity. Verse 5 of 2 Samuel 16. The Word of God tells us of a man. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, and by the way, that means go and take notice of this. Look at this. I want you to see this. The Word of God tells us that. Thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou son of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Thank God for Abishai. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. Absalom's looking to kill his father. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will render me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. You can imagine, this is King David. If you imagine going to Great Britain and, of course, the love they have for the Queen. And I realize she's elderly now and probably not as beloved as Princess Kate is. So let's use her as an illustration. As you walk alongside the motorcade and curse Princess Kate. Curse her little children. Throw dust and stones and vile. Oh, bloody woman. The picture we have of a man cursing David, calling him a son of Belial. David instructs his men to leave him alone. Why? Because if he's son of God, I need to learn a lesson through this in context. And so this man is left alone. He's done a vile thing. He comes within a sword swipe of dying, but he lives another day. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, in verse 16. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Behurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And they went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not thy Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember the which thy servant did perversely, that the day my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come this first day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet the Lord my king. And again, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he has cursed the Lord's anointed. And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am the king, or this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. Two times Shimei has received mercy at the hand of David. 1 Kings chapter 2. And behold, in verse 8 of chapter 2, behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Behurim. David is, by the way, challenging Solomon here. I should give context. He's turned the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And he tells him of this man, a Benjamite of Behurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now notice what David says. Now therefore hold him not guiltless. You see, David had made a covenant, but Solomon had not. For thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave. with blood. Verse 36. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain, thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. Now listen to this. Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. What did Solomon tell him? You'll dwell in your house in Jerusalem and not leave your house. Your blood will be upon your own head. Can I say this? What a fool.
Sir.
What a fool. He thought so little of the commandment of the king. He saddles his ass and goes to Gath to retrieve his servants. You see, it was the two times David showed him mercy. Can I say it on this wise? They gave him boldness. David, I cursed David. He showed me mercy. I threw stones and dust and cursed his name as he went, called him a bloody man, and yet I'm alive. But he wasn't dealing with David.
Uh-oh.
He's dealing with Solomon.
Right.
The Word of God says this. Verse 41, it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone unto Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gath, and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain, look at this, know for a certain, on the day thou goest out, and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. He died. Why? He disobeyed one too many times. He made lies of the king one too many times. And it cost him his life. Our second character, our lengthy character, interwoven with these other characters, is in 2 Samuel chapter 2. In 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ahibosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and of the servants of David, went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down. Now here you have servants of Saul, servants of David, across the pool from each other, sitting down. They're facing each other. One on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. There arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ahishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten. And the men of Israel before the servants of David. And now notice this. Now I'm not going to read all of this just for the sake of time, but notice the context here. There are three sons of Zeruiah. They're Joab, and Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe, and Asahel pursued after Abner. If you read on down through that, which I won't for sake of time, Abner tells him, turn to the right or turn to the left, don't pursue me. And Asahel continues pursuing him. He's a great runner. He's fleet of foot. And he tells him, stop pursuing me. And yet he would not stop pursuing him. And in verse 23, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. They pursued him. They sought him. They were going to kill him for the blood of their brother. They're in war. They sit down at the pool and maybe an attempt to make peace. And a fight breaks out. And blood is shed. And they hold Abner responsible. And Asahel pursues Abner. And he dies for it. Then Joab and Abishai, they pursue after Abner to slay him. But what you see is what we're going to look at is the life of this man in verse 27. And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then by the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. What does he speak? Abner calls to Joab and seeks for peace, asks for mercy. And Joab grants him the mercy he sought. In chapter 13, verse 17, and Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all the enemies. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron. All that seemed good to Israel and what seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. David made Abner and his men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and will gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away. Notice this. And he went in peace. Abner's made peace with the king. But remember, our story tonight involves a man whose name is Joab. Abner's killed his brother. Joab has sought for his life, and he has promised to make peace with Abner. David has promised peace to Abner. But in verse 23, when Joab and all the hosts that were with him came, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it thou hast sent him away and he is quite gone? Thou knowest, Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee and to know thy going out and thy coming in and know all that thou dost. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner's returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab makes peace with Abner and then slays him. And David has made peace with Abner, and Joab still slays him. In verse 28, when David hears of this, David simply said this, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever. From the blood of Abner and the son of Ner, let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, that there is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai's brother slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David calls for them to mourn over Abner. Joab thought he was doing righteousness, but he was doing righteousness while doing it against God. To him, avenging his brother's death was right. But David said, no, this isn't on my kingdom. Joab is not my warrior killing this man in war. No, he has slain a man in his own blood, and let that blood be upon his head. But I want you to notice this. As David showed mercy, as we've already read to Shimei, David also shows mercy to Joab. But David does something even far greater. David commits it to the Lord for judgment. David could have judged it. He was the king. But David committed to the hand of God to judge. 2 Samuel chapter 10. We see in a battle here, we see the work of war. We see Joab, the mighty hero, if you will, a great fighter, a great warrior. There's 20,000 footmen. When David heard of it in verse 7, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Istob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians and the rest of the people. He delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Look at verse 12. This is Joab. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him under the battle against the Syrians, they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. He's a war hero. And Abishai have run off the enemies of God. David's enemies, Jerusalem's enemies. He's a mighty warrior. He's a man of valor. In chapter 11, David has sinned in his adultery. David finds out that the woman that he's laying with, Bathsheba's with child. Who does he call to cover it up? He calls Joab. He's a mighty warrior. He's the head of the host. He's David's, can I say, general of the army. David calls Joab. In verse 6, he sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. He's in charge. He's David's soldier. Again, a man of valor, a man of great conduct, a man. And by the way, when you read Joab, it's why it's almost confusing at times, because you'll see these mighty acts that Joab does, but you also see that blood is still upon his head for the slaying of a man that David had already acquitted. David had made peace with. Yet Joab's a great warrior. He does many great things in his life. Of course, Uriah will not come into his own home. He lays at the gate of David. So the Lord again, or David again, Verse 12 says, to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. When David had called him, he did eat and drink before him. And he made him drunk, and at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down into his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set you Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people, the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. He obeyed his king. He followed his commandment. But he didn't obey his king when his king had made peace. When did he follow his king? In unrighteousness. Having a man slain. Taking a man's innocent life. One of David's mighty men. I can't help but think that David knew not only what Joab was capable of, but what Joab was. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, Absalom, of course, has risen up against his own father. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent it to Koah and fetched thence a wise woman and said to her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this manner unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. The deceit begins to grow. The lie begins to grow. In verse 19, David realizes what's taking place with this lying woman. And the king said, is not this the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left hand from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me and put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid, to fetch above this form of speech, hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, O king. My lord, O king, that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. Even in his deceit, as he bows his face to David and bows his face to the king, he thanks David for showing him grace in his sight. He's lied. He's a deceiver. He's a subtle man. He's not announcing his intentions. He has blood on his head. He has blood on his hands. But he's a servant of David. And I need you to keep track of that. He's a servant of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, again, Absalom is overthrown the house of his father. In verse 25, Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. Which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So again, there's an act in Joab's life. He's removed as the captain of the host. And someone else is the captain of the host in his stead. Yet the king is shown in grace. In verse 5 of chapter 18, the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge. Again, what? Concerning Absalom. He has the command. He's received grace. He has instruction. David's been merciful to him. But he's been removed as the captain of the host. He's lied. He's deceived. In chapter 18, explain what happens here, not read a great amount of this, but simply in verse 14, then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. He's offered a reward for a young man to slay Absalom. That man said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not touch them. We were there. The king said, don't touch that young man. And Joab said, I'll take it upon myself. He took those three darts as Absalom hung on that oak and he thrust them through. Then his servants, the 10 young men, compassed about, is that good strong word, and smote Absalom and slew him. Joab's gone against the king that showed him grace. Joab's gone against the king that could have slain him. Joab's slain the king's son, hanging in an oak. How would you feel if someone killed your son, let alone when you had commanded them explicitly, knowing your bloody past, and they slew your son in innocency? They run to give David the tidings. Joab sends a man. Ahimaaz goes, and of course it's a race at this time. He has no words in his mouth. Then Cushai comes, and Cushai has a message, and he tells David that all the king's enemies should be as that young man, Absalom. And David weeps. He cries, oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. In verse 1 of chapter 19, was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 7. They went out after him, Joab's men, the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. They went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Bichri there. My eyes are getting really bad. When they were at a great stone, was in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on girded unto him, and upon it was a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out, and Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed of the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Chapter 24, 2 Samuel, verse 2. We see a pattern again in the life of Joab. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said to the king, now the Lord thy God add unto thy people how many soever they be, and hundredfold, that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevail against Joab. Joab's trying to even keep the king from folly. God's forbidden David to number the people. And he tells Joab, go number the people. And Joab tries to plead with him. What a contrast. A cold-blooded murderer. But he loves David. He deceives David, who shows him grace. He murders his son. But then he tries to keep David from disobeying God. What confusion. What a contrast. But then the Lord tells us this in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 7. Adonijah is desirous to be king. And look in verse 7 who he confers with. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah. They following Adonijah helped him. They helped him. After all he's been through with David, when Adonijah takes the throne, he helps him. He turns against David. Word of God tells us this. Let me find the right verse. I don't want to sit here and try to flounder. I just read this just recently. But in the context of what it speaks here, he's turned against him in the days of Adonijah, but he did not turn against him in the days of Absalom. He supported David and Absalom, and yet he turns against him in David's days when his next son has turned against him. What confusion. What ungratefulness. But you know what he's done? He's lived with David. And he's fought with David. And David has honored him as one of his warriors. And David has sought his counsel. David has sought his wisdom. David has sent him to the battle. But then when Adonijah becomes king, Joab sees brighter days. And he turns against David. In verse 41, and Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar?" And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, "Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings." And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king." They chose the wrong side. David goes and anoints his son Solomon to be king. Now Adonijah has ascended the throne of his own will, and Joab has gone with him. In 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." I want you to notice we've been in this chapter before. David tells Solomon concerning Shimei to do with him, but not to acquit him. We see in verse 5 of the same chapter, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet." Verse 50. Chapter 1. I'm in the wrong place. Excuse me. I got the wrong verse there. Let me go back to the word chapter 2. Go to the same place we just were at. He says, "Do therefore according to thy wisdom," in verse 6, "let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace," speaking of Joab. "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. Let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." And then he goes on and tells them of Shimei. He tells them of what will take place with Shimei. And I want you to notice that in verse 50 of 1 Kings, "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon." Nothing avoids the eyes of the king. The king knows what's going on in his land. His own brother's gone and got a hold of the horns of the altar. And has told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword." And Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die." So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, "Go to thine house." Again, chapter 2 and verse 13. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." He said, "Moreover, I have something what to say to thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and all the Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. How be it? The kingdom is turned about, is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. His father David is dead." And he asked Solomon if he can have, or he asked Bathsheba to go and retrieve this woman from Solomon to be my wife. I want you to notice this. In verse 22, Solomon answered and said to his mother, "Why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for it? And Adonijah, ask for him the kingdom also. For he is mine elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, "God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah hath not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and hath made me an house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day." And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Adonijah's dead. And by the way, he deserved to die. Solomon had shown him mercy, but it meant nothing to him. Shimei is dead. David had showed him mercy. Then Solomon showed him mercy. But you know what? It meant nothing to him. Verse 28. Then tidings came to Joab. For Joab had turned after Adonijah. There's the verse I was looking for earlier. Though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and notice this, and caught hold on the horns of the altar. It worked for Adonijah. Maybe it'll work for me. Solomon knows I turned against him because I turned against his father David. His brother got the horns of the altar and he showed him mercy. Let me go get the horns of the altar. In verse 29, again, nothing's hidden. It was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go fall upon him." Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, "Thus saith the king, come forth." And he said, "Nay, but I will die here." And Benaiah brought the word, king word again, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." And the king said unto him, "Do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed for me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne shall be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Three characters. Three stories, the same ending. But I want you to notice this pattern tonight. The king showed each one of them mercy in wrath. The king granted each of them relief and offered them mercy that they didn't have to die. With Joab, it wasn't even conditional. David honored him as a captain of the host. He said his blood will be upon his head. Cast judgment upon him. But spared his life. Two innocent men died at the hands of Joab. And it cost him his life. His rebellion against the king cost him his life. Adonijah. Just a very short story with Adonijah. Because Solomon showed him mercy. And in that mercy, he considered not God. He died a death of a fool. Shimei received mercy at the hand of David. Solomon extended that mercy. David had granted to Solomon to put judgment upon the head of Shimei. And Solomon extended mercy to him. And as a fool, he went after his servants against the order of the king, trodden underfoot the king's grace. But then Solomon wrote of them again, Ecclesiastes. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes to these three men one more time. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. This is Solomon writing this book. And in chapter 8 and verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. For every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? What is Solomon saying? He doesn't know what's around the corner. He doesn't know what's coming. Misery's upon him. He just can't see it. But it's coming. Joab, all those years with David, all those years captain of the host, David being merciful to him. But mercy ran out. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. When mercy runs out, you'll not stop the day of death. And when you come to the day of death and God shows you mercy, don't you ever consider that a light thing. You better take that to heart. Someone just recently speaking to us said his grandfather was a preacher of the gospel. He said in a little town called Bastogne, his grandfather surrounded by Germans. In a foxhole, he made a plea. The Lord would show him mercy. He preached his gospel. He's after World War II. His grandfather came back to the United States. He kind of forgot about that bargain with God. He said, God, by his grandfather's own lips, God put him under judgment and chased him. He finally flew up the white flag of surrender. God took him back to a foxhole when he made a promise. He made a vow to God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you forever. His grandfather ran to the altar in 1951, fell at the altar, surrendered to preach. God shows you mercy, don't you ever take it light. There's no man, verse 8, hath power of the Spirit to retain the Spirit. If he hath power in the day of death, there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen. Who? Solomon. He's seen it all. And applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There's time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And notice this. Solomon's writing. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, from the horns of the altar, from the place of mercy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. David showed mercy to Shimei. And he still died as a fool. God gave Joab long life. And he died with blood on his hands. A murderer. A worker of evil. A rebel. Time and time again, David seemingly overlooking what Joab's doing. Even involving Joab in things he should have never been involved in. Seeking to him as the captain of the host for wisdom. But there is a day of judgment in Joab's future. And he couldn't see it. Adonijah, again, just a short story in Adonijah. The death of David, he said, I'll be king. And he swayed a priest. He swayed Joab to come with him. He said, I'll be king. He made himself king. And immediately, God took away his throne and gave it to Solomon. Immediately. Why? It was the will of God that Solomon be on that throne. And Adonijah received mercy. But then what he did, he acted like a fool. And Solomon had him slain for it. Solomon, basically in context, I've seen him come, I've seen him go. And they've died the death. Why? Because judgment was not speedily. Sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. We're to all be in hell tonight. I said, we ought to all be in hell tonight. But the mercy of God. So certainly God won't put me into hell. He certainly will. Without his son, he certainly will. He'll be just and he'll be right. God's already extended you mercy. God's already shown you grace. Can I say God's extended mercy tonight? People say that's not real dynamic preaching. No, it's just a good Bible story. But it culminates in death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is still. It still is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's given us mercy far more than we deserve. I've stood at the coffin of children. I've stood at the coffin of teenagers. I've stood at the coffin of the elderly. And what happened? Mercy ran out. And God said, it's time to execute. After this, the judgment. Then sentence is handed down. That evil work is going to be called into judgment of God. God will call the dead, small and great. And he's going to judge them by the works. Evil works. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How serious are you taking it? I just cursed the king. I just threw dust. Cursed David. But I got away with it. I just slew an innocent man. But I got away with it. Absalom was a rebel. Certainly we could justify slaying Absalom. And he slew an innocent man, the Bible tells us. He was an innocent man that died. But three darts at him. And he got away with it. The king was grieving. The king wasn't angry. The king was grieving. So how does he thank David? He turns against him. He hardens his heart. When Adonijah comes to power, I believe Joab could see relief with him. Kindred spirit, if you will. Both of them rebels against God. I'll join with Adonijah. Not realizing he's going to die the death. I'll yoke up with Ahithophel. Not saying he's going to die the death, Absalom. I got away with it. So I must be okay. R.G. Lee, 1954, Southern Baptist Convention. Preached that great message. Payday. Someday. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Adonijah, you got what you deserved. And I even gave you mercy. Joab, you got what you deserved, but I extended mercy to you, Joab. I offered you grace, Joab. You found grace in the sight of the king, Joab. Adonijah, in his own thinking, I'll be king. What a wonderful thing. He couldn't discern God's will. So when mercy is extended to him, can he discern God's will? No, we can't discern. Does he discern God's mercy? No, he doesn't discern God's mercy. He goes and tries to marry the wife of his father, the young lady. And he used deceit to do it. And Solomon said, he's going to die. He's on the horns of the altar, begging for mercy. Look up here. And he still died. I want some of you to listen to me. Joab died on the altar. And never obtained mercy. He never considered his end. This is all going to end one day. And what I've done now is going to cost me in the end. I'm not fatalist enough to believe that there couldn't have been a different outcome. But Solomon wrote this of these three men. There's no doubt in my mind. When he spake of the city of God, spake of the wicked buried in the place of the holy. He had to slay his own brother. He had to slay his father's mighty man. to slay Shimei, who he'd extended mercy to. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why do we do evil? Because we don't think we're going to have to pay for it. Why can't we get right with our brother who we see and who we say we love? Because we don't think there's a payback. We don't think we have to. Because sentence is not executed, boy, we got away with it. Whew. That was close. The next time your heart is set, I killed an innocent man in his own blood, watched him wallow in it. Nothing happened. I slew an innocent man hanging in a tree. As a matter of fact, the king showed me mercy, and that was his son that I slew. So you know what? When I think this king is feeble and weak, I'll just jump to the other side. He died the death for it. How many more times does God have to show us mercy? How many more times does God have to spare our lives? How many more times does God have to reveal himself to us? Can I say to you, the answer is simply this: zero. But he's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a merciful God. The Word of God told us this: his mercy endureth forever. Nothing's happened. I must be okay. Nothing went wrong. I must be okay. I'm still alive. I must be all right. Ask Joab, ask Shimei, ask Adonijah. Would you have done things differently, men? Without fail, yes, we would have. I ignored God's mercy. That's the cry tonight. It's the mercy of God. How about you? The lifeline has been extended. Why won't you take it? I just take it. You know, I'll wait maybe one more chance. Just a little bit more sin. Just a little bit more pleasure. Just a little bit more. Just, hey, God's been so good so far and spared my life so far. I'll just take a little bit more of a chance with it. Grab those horns on the altar. And we're slain. You can come to the holy place. You can say you're seeking God's face. But if you reject his mercy, you'll still die in your iniquity. It's the message God's given us tonight.